أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله على الصلاة حي على الصلاة على الفلاح حي على الفلاح لا إله إلا الله.
الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر السلام عليكم ورحمة الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله Alhamdulillah, today we have a very special program with a very honorable guest, Mullah Sajjad Damat Barakatuh. So, the topic of this discussion will be how to utilize and make most of our time during the holidays. This will be followed by a Q&A session and food will be served, inshallah. So our brothers are requested to partake and spare some time. Jazakallahu khair.
نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله We once again praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Our master, our sustainer Our protector The one from whom we came And the one to whom we will return And we send salat and salam Salutation durood upon Imam al-Anbiya Sayyidul Rusul Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam Just a few words before we commence the program. First and foremost, we must show shukr and gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that once again He has given us the tawfiq, the ability to spend some time in His house to reflect upon our lives, reflect upon our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and inshallah learn something and make some amends by which we can gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The topic which has been chosen, he mentioned that how a person can utilize the summer holidays properly. A narration comes to mind, Salman Farsi radiallahu ta'ala an, he mentions that during the night time, there are three groups of people. One for whom the night is of benefit, the second for whom the night is against him, and the third that neither the night is for him or against him. And upon being questioned, he explained that that person who utilizes the night, makes the most of that night, and spends it in the obedience and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that night is for him. It is for the benefit of him. That person who utilizes the night to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this night will be against him. It will be a means of punishment. And that person who neither worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, neither does he disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this night, it is neither for him or against him. So similarly, we have the summer holidays. Many of the brothers will have time off school, college. Brothers will be taking time off work as well. So we'll have three categories of people. Some will make the most of this free time. They will utilize the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. They understand that this is a great blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And they will make the most of this and gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for them, these summer holidays will be a means of benefit and reward. Second category of people, those who will utilize this free time in order to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So for them, this holiday will be a means of punishment and they will go further from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And thirdly, for most people, especially youngsters, they have no plans. They just want to spend the time, just kill their time. Neither good or neither bad. Just want to spend the time anyhow. So time will go, but they won't achieve anything. So the maqsad and the objective behind this program is so that we can become from the first category. Those who have good intentions, who understand the importance of this time, who can maximize the free time that they have, and inshallah be from the first category. So I request the brothers please try to sit as close as possible, sit with adab and respect, what Maulana shares, listen to his words carefully, and reflect upon your life, any disobediences, before even getting up, speak to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from your heart, and make tawbah, any good point, do shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and make some intentions. Inshallah, to start today's program, I call upon Brother Abdul Ghani, a student of Baridal Ulum, to come forward and recite some verses from the Glorious Quran. Abdul Ghani.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا إنا سنلقي عليك قولا ثقيلا إن ناشئة الليل هي أشد وطئا وأقوم قيلا إن لك في النهار سبحا طويلا واذكر اسم ربك وتبتل إليه تبتيلا رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو رب المشرق والمغرب لا إله إلا هو فاتخذه وكيلا واصبر على ما يقولون واهجرهم هجرا جميلا وذرني والمكذبين أولي النعمة ومهلهم قليلا إن لدينا أنكالا وجحيما وطعاما ذا غصة وعذابا أليما يوم ترجف الأرض والجبال وكانت الجبال كثيبا مهيلا إنا أرسلنا إليكم رسولا شاهدا عليكم كما أرسلنا إلى فرعون رسولا فعصى فرعون الرسول فأخذناه أخذا وبيلا فكيف تتقون إن كفرتم يوما يجعل الولدان شيبا السماء منفطر به كان وعده مفعولا إن هذه تذكرة فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه سبيلا صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, Allah Mazid Mubarak. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all a true connection with the glorious Quran, and may He grant us the ability to recite the Quran in such a beautiful manner as well. I just take this opportunity to remind the brothers that Alhamdulillah, on Tuesdays, we have a Tajweed class. Mona Ilyas Koya Sahib, Hafidhullah Ta'ala, he has been running this class for many years. Unfortunately, seldom do people take benefit from this. Mona has been doing this, fi sabilillah, for so many years. Every Tuesday he comes, depending on the season, the time changes. And this is an opportunity for us to reconnect with the Quran. Many of us growing up may not have learned the Quran with Tajweed, and we're reciting the Quran. We're reciting the Quran incorrectly. So this is a golden opportunity for us to correct our recitation and learn Tajweed so that we can recite the Quran properly. Brothers, if they are interested, they can inquire from myself or inquire from the office. Inshallah, we can give you details. It is free. All you have to do is spend 1 hour a week on Tuesdays, and inshallah, Maulana will guide you. Inshallah, now I request Brother Junaid to come forward and enlighten the gathering with some nations.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This nasheed is called Live Your Life with Allah. I think it fits in perfectly with the summer holidays and for those that are going to be spending their time trying to reconnect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Durood Sharif, inshallah.
لتعيش حياة مع الله فلتكن من عباد الله هل لا تريد رضوان الله اذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا لتعيش حياة مع الله فلتكن من عباد الله هل لا تريد رضوان الله اذكر الله ذكرا كثيرا لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله. Do you live your life with Allah? Read the Quran and connect with Allah. Follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Remember Allah through dhikr and dua. Do you live your life with Allah? Read the Quran and connect with Allah. Follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Remember Allah through dhikr and dua. Follow the commandments of Allah. Spend on the ummah attain taqwa. Pour out your hearts whilst in sajda. Taste the sweetness of salah. Morning and evening with daily adhkar. For any illnesses perform ruqiyah. You'll find peace turning only to Allah. Indeed I am near wherever you are. لتعيش حياة مع الله فلتكن من عباد الله. ألا تريدوا رضوان الله واذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا لتعيش حياة مع الله فلتكن من عباد الله. ألا تريدوا رضوان الله واذكروا الله ذكرا كثيرا. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله.
Inshallah, join together with me and recite this with me, inshallah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله.
Together.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله عليه صلاة الله عليه بركات الله. Do you live your life with Allah? Read the Quran and connect with Allah. Follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Remember Allah through dhikr and dua. Do you live your life with Allah? Read the Quran and connect with Allah. Follow the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Remember Allah through dhikr and dua. Let's start afresh now, inshaAllah. Repent sincerely, do istighfar. One of his many names is Al-Ghaffar. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. If you haven't lived your life with Allah, send salawat and praise Allah. You'll be with whom you love in Jannah. Breathe every breath, live your life with Allah. If you haven't lived your life with Allah, send salawat and praise Allah. You'll be with whom you love in Jannah. Breathe every breath, live your life with Allah. Breathe every breath, live your life with Allah.
Inshallah. inshallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to live every single second, every minute, every hour, every day, every week, every month, every year, and the rest of our life with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to follow His commandments shown to us by our beloved Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and allow us to follow the instruction manual which He has blessed us with, which is the Quran. And these are the recipes for success. Any other way will lead us to total failure in this world and in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to truly connect with Him and spend our time correctly, inshallah, and also be kind to our parents, and also be kind and respectful to our teachers as well, inshallah, and our peers. Jazakumullahu khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Jazakumullahu khairan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to act upon those beautiful couplets. The maqsad and objective behind nasheeds, naats, nazams is that we ponder over the meanings and we try to implement the lessons. It's not just for entertainment's sake. We should ponder over the words and try to bring that into our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed great effect in poetry, and this is why it is the practice of our akabir and our elders that they recite such poetry, they write such poetry, and they try to give messages to the ummah through poetry as well. Before going forward, I once again request the brothers that please try to sit as close as possible. Those brothers at the back who are not in need of leaning on the wall, I request you to please try to come forward. This is from the adab and etiquettes of a majlis of ilm, that a person, he joins the gathering. You shouldn't lean if there is no need to lean. Now I request our guest of honor, Mawlana Sajjad Sahib, Hafizahullah Ta'ala, to come forward and bless us with his words of wisdom. Mawlana, mashallah, is a graduate of Jamiat al-Ilm wal-Huda, Rakum Darul Ulum, and he serves in Makki Masjid as well. So upon our invitation, Mawlana said labbaik. So I request the brothers that please sit with respect and listen to Mawlana's words carefully.
الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي أنعم علينا بنعم لا تعد ولا تحصى وأعطانا الوقت والزمن لنعبده وتدان الرضا ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected علماء, esteemed elders, young friends, mothers and sisters listening at home, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite mercy and wisdom, has blessed us with numerous blessings, reminding us in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا, that even if you were to attempt and try to count the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be unable to do so. Now sometimes we sit and we think that what blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are there? And then our minds might divert to wealth. They may divert to the materialistic things around us. But if you sit and ponder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us great blessings. Such blessings that we on a day-to-day basis sometimes consider mundane things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the greatest blessings, the very first blessing, is that He give us some sort of existence. After giving us existence, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have created us as anything. But through His infinite mercy, He created us humans, the best of makhluk, the best of creation. Then the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon us does not stop there. From creating us and making us a part of the best of creations, He then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, decided us to make us a part of the believers. After granting us Iman, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then blessed us with the fortune of being a part of the Ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then after that, so many blessings He has granted us, good health and well-being. He has granted us intellect. And from amongst the numerous blessings, one of the major blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the blessing of time in itself. And to understand the severity of this blessing, we can take a look within the Quran. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in numerous places within the Quran, He takes an oath on time and on various parts of the day. The Mufassireen write time and time again that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath by these things to show their importance, their value, their greatness in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wal Fajr, by the dawn. Wal Duha, by the morning. Wal Layl, by the night. Wal Nahar, by the day. Wal Asr, and by time itself. Time and time, various places within the Quran, we find Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking an oath, taking an qasam, not just by time, but then by various portions and the different times of the day also. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَى وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّى وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى وَالْفَجْرِ وَلَيَالٍ عَشْرٍ. This is to show the importance of time and the value of the blessing of time in itself. To the extent the teacher of Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, Shaykh Hassanain Mahmood, Shaykh Hassanain Muhammad Makhlouf, he states in his tafsir Safwatul Bayan that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking an oath by time and the various portions of the day is in fact Him taking an oath on Himself, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creator of time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He shows us the importance, how important time is. And its importance equals the greatness of its blessings. That if time itself is such a great thing, then that means time itself is such a great blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of time, wal asr, He then says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ, that mankind is in complete loss. Resonating this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions in a hadith, نِعْمَتَان, that there are two blessings, مَغْبُونٌ فِيهِ كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, كَثِيرٌ مِّنَ النَّاسِ, that majority of the people a maghboon regarding these two blessings, are deceived regarding these two blessings. This word maghboon in the Arabic language comes from the word ghabad. Allah Matibi in his Sharah Mishkat and many other muhaddithin whilst commentating on this hadith, they mention that ghaban in the Arabic language means deception. And it's used a lot of times when it comes to the chapters of sales and transactions. That if an individual is deceived in a sale, you are deceived into paying more than what's normal for an item. Or you were selling something and you are deceived into selling it for much less than what it is worth. Or somebody sold you an item with defaults and defects within it, with faults and defects within it. Then you would be considered maghboon, that you were deceived. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that majority of the people, there are two such blessings that majority of the people have been deceived regarding them. As-sihhatu wal-farah, good health and well-being, and free time. Allama Tibi then goes and expounds and explains that i.e. this good health and well-being are your capital. This is your money. Or this is the item that you are selling. And you are engaging in a transaction with your health and with your time. But because you do not value your health and time and you do not use it and utilize it in a manner that you should, then you have been deceived regarding it. Shaitan has then purchased and taken this time and wealth from you and given you very little in return. So ni'matani maghbunun fiha kathirun minan nas, fihima kathirun minan nas. Kathir, resonating what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Suratul Asriyah, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, that mankind is in total loss. Illa, except. It's ajeeb because you can see how the various Quran verses and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam interlink. The word ni'matani maghbunun, we just discussed that the word maghbun, ghaban, it is to do with sales and transactions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions in a hadith, in the Quran, هَلْ أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ تِجَارَةٍ تُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ أَذَابٍ عَلِيمٍ, that should I not inform you and guide you to such a transaction which will save you and protect you from a painful punishment? تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, that you believe in Allah, etc. Similarly, in another hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentions, كُلُّ النَّاسِ يَغْدُو, every single individual wakes up in the morning. فَبَاعِئٌ نَفْسَهُ, and he engages in a transaction with himself. He puts himself up for sale. فَمُعْتِقُهَا أَوْ مُبِقُهَا, either he frees himself from the fire of Jahannam, or he destroys himself by wasting his time, by committing sins, engaging in acts which bring the displeasure and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he destroys himself in the fire of Jahannam. So I want you to keep this concept in mind, that these verses of the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they encouraging us to look at our time as a transaction, as of something of value. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, wal asr, innal insana lafi khusr, the whole of mankind are in loss. Illa, except those individuals who engage in four things. And the topic of discussion is, summer school's out, summer's here, how should we spend our summer? So my message today is, let's spend our summer holidays in these four things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in this surah. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, except those individuals who have believed, who have brought faith upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, and alongside bringing faith, they do righteous deeds, they commit good deeds. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, and they exhort and encourage one another upon the truth, and they exhort and encourage one another upon sabr. Before we further expound on this, what I want you to keep in mind is, from these four things, two things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned are individual obligations. آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that you believe, you bring faith, and you do righteous deeds. And the next two are communal obligations. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, that you exhort one another. You encourage one another on the truth. And you encourage and exhort one another on sabr. I'm not translating sabr deliberately. The word sabr in the Arabic language, the ulama have outlined and mentioned and detailed and expounded that it refers to three things. What is loosely translated as patience, it involves three things. Number one, as-sabru ala ta'at, to remain steadfast and patient upon the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, as-sabru anil ma'asi, to remain patient and steadfast from committing sins and the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, as-sabru ala al-masa'ib, what we consider as sabr generally, that to be patient in the face of calamities and hardships. So the word sabr entails all three things. So watawasaw bil haqqi watawasaw bis sabr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that the whole of mankind is in loss except that individual who engages in these four things. And it's ajeeb because it comes in a narration that كان الرجلان من أصحاب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إذا التقيا, when two companions would meet, لم يتفرقا, they would not depart from one another, حتى يقرأ أحدهما على الآخر سورة العصر, until one recites to another this surah of the Quran, wal asr. Imam Shafi has stated that this surah in its brevity is such that it contains so much meaning and wisdom that this surah in itself is sufficient for the guidance of mankind. But it's a matter of pondering over the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and understanding them. So this وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاسَوْ بِالصَّبْرِ, as we see, there are two individual obligations and two communal obligations. And Allama Ibn Taymiyyah brings a beautiful point here. He mentions that when you think and when you ponder, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions two individual things, that you bring faith and you do righteous deeds. And there are two things which prevent an individual from committing, bringing faith and committing righteous deeds. The first one is shubuhat, doubts. The doubts that an individual has within himself, this prevents him from bringing faith. To counter these doubts, watawasaw bilhaq, exhort and encourage one another on the truth. Gain ilm, gain knowledge, and then spread this knowledge and encourage others to bring faith. This will then be a means of the removal of any doubts that you may have, and it will strengthen your faith also. وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and what prevents us from doing righteous deeds is shahawat, carnal desires. So the two things, shubuhat and shahawat. And for shahawat, you need to do sabr, a part of the sabr, that you need to now be disciplined. Many a times, as students, as individuals, when we need to get something done, we try to motivate ourselves. We might watch a motivational video on YouTube. We might start reading some motivational quotes. We might start listening to motivational speeches. But as we get older, life teaches us that motivation will only get you so far. What gets you through life is discipline. If we ask our parents, do they want to wake up every single day and go to work at 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock in the morning and then work all day and then come back and then take you to madrasa and then come back and then have to feed you and then put you to bed? Many a times might wake up in the morning and they don't feel like going to work. But what makes them? You have to stay disciplined. This is why motivation will only get you so far. What gets you past that is discipline. So what we need to do is we need to discipline ourselves. And this is the essence of tasawwuf. The very essence of tasawwuf is disciplining oneself and disciplining the soul. Disciplining it so it goes and it strides towards fulfilling the commandments of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it refrains from the disobedience and displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why when we go out in the path of Allah, in tabligh, in jamaat, this is what we are trying to teach ourselves and our youngsters. That why is it that we have to listen to the Amir? Why is it that there's a specific time for breakfast? I have to be in ta'aleem for this time. I have to do mudhakara at this time. We have to go out for gushna at this particular time. I can't sleep when I want and how I want. Why is to discipline ourselves? If you can't listen to the Amir in jamaat, if we can't follow a timetable in jamaat, then how are we going to discipline ourselves within our life and follow the timetable of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So the main purpose, the bigger picture is what? To discipline ourselves. And once we discipline ourselves, then we can take control of our life and we can take control of our time. And then we can ensure we utilize our time in the best manner possible. This is why Ibn Ata'ullah al-Iskindari rahimahullahu ta'ala, he used to say, anfasuka jawahir, that your breaths are pearls. A poem comes to mind, a poet, he says, Hayatuka anfasun tu'addu fakullama. Hayatuka anfasun, that your life is a number of breaths, tu'addu, which are counted, which are numbered. Fakullama madha nafasun minha intaqasat bihi juz'a. That every time one breath passes, you take one breath, intaqasat bihi juz'a, with this breath, a portion of your life diminishes. With every single breath. You breathe in, you breathe out. It's like a puzzle. One piece has been taken away from your life. A portion of your life is gone. And these breaths are not just like pearls, but they're more precious than pearls. Because as soon as this one breath goes, there's no coming back. You can't retrieve it again. You can't get hold of it again. You can't rewind time and somehow capture it again. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we understand through all this, wal asr, why He takes an oath of time. That innal insana lafi khusr, the whole of mankind is in loss. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bis sabr. So how can we implement these things within our life? Alhamdulillah, the first thing we have all done. Alhamdulillah, say Alhamdulillah that we have faith. We have believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the last day, in the day of judgment, in Jannah and Jahannam. The next thing that we can focus on in the summer holidays is building good habits. Is building good habits. وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Let's focus on building habits where we do righteous deeds which then continue within our life. Praying our salah 5 times a day. Reciting, sitting down to pray our sabak every single day, whether we have madrasa or not. Reciting the Quran on a daily basis, regardless of what it, we have a specified time for this. That every morning after Fajr salah, I will spend 15 minutes with the Quran. Making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you have a specified time. Every single day I have 10 minutes within my life. I find it difficult to make dua for 10 minutes. I'll start off with 1 or 2 minutes. But there will be a time during the day, every day, where I will raise my hands and I will supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then slowly, slowly increase my time. My friends, life is such and the world is such that there are so many difficulties, atrocities, hardships that come throughout our life. But the sweetness that an individual gains by raising his hands in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and shedding tears in front of Him, the way this act somehow removes temporarily gets rid of all our hardships and difficulties is amazing, is second to none. This is why, if I remember correctly, Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Mutala Sahib used to advise, ke rona sikhlo. Just learn how to cry in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Ghazali rahimahullahu ta'ala in his Ihya Ulumuddin, when he talks about the etiquettes of reciting the Quran, he mentions that from the etiquettes of reciting the Quran is that when the mention of Jahannam comes, when the mention of those individuals who preceded us and the punishment that came to them comes within the Quran, then an individual should shed tears. And then he mentions that if we can't shed tears, then he should try to pretend to cry. And if he can't even pretend to cry, then Imam Ghazali writes, then he should cry over the hardness of his heart. That how is my heart so hard and so harsh that I find it difficult to cry even when reciting the Quran, when the mention of Jahannam and the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in front of me, I cannot even shed any tears. So we should wa'amilu salihat this summer holidays alongside, as I mentioned, that we should try and build some good habits. And this doesn't mean we don't have any fun. Of course, summer holidays are an important time to refresh, to reboot, to recharge. Have some good time. with your friends, etc. Refresh yourselves, rebuke yourselves for the new academic year. Don't tire yourselves so much out in the summer holidays that as September comes that you're already now fatigued, whether it's physically, psychologically, mentally. But we need to, it's a very good time to inculcate good habits within us, which then we can continue throughout the whole year. So وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ then وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. This, my friends, of encouraging one another, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. Mufti Shafi rahimahullah ta'ala, under this, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, he writes that it's not sufficient for the success of an individual that he focuses on himself, that I have believed, I've done righteous deeds, I'm on the right path, that's it. But we understand from this ayah that alongside having worry and concern of himself, he has to have worry and concern of those around him also. Whether it's his family members, whether it's his relatives, whether it's his friends, whether it's his community, whether it's his colleagues. But part of being a Muslim is that we just don't look after ourselves, but we look after those around us also. That's why وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Otherwise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have stopped that إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, that these individuals are now successful. They are not in complete and total loss. But we need to now encourage one another as well. And this is why it's important that we try to spend some time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could be for various reasons. It could be for ourselves, it should be for ourselves. Many individuals many times ask that, is it for us to go? Do I have to go out? What we need to understand here is that tabligh and going out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a methodology which has been passed down to us by our elders, which is an extremely successful methodology. The act itself of tabligh, Arabic word of propagating the deen, is necessary. But there's many ways of doing this. But the success that jama'ah, the work which was initiated by Hazrat Maulana Ilyas Sahib has had, no other work has had that success. And history proves this. So this is a methodology which has been given to us that we can now inculcate within our lives, that this is how it needs to be done. So no, going for the exact 3 days or the exact 40 days is not farad. However, it's been proven. It's been trial and tested. And we don't have time to go into too much detail. Many individuals also ask that, then why don't the brothers go to non-Muslims? As we mentioned here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Allama ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned that it's to remove shubuhat and shahawat. To remove shubuhat, we need ilm. We need ilm. To give da'wah to a non-Muslim, an individual has to be equipped with ilm. Otherwise, the last thing you want is somebody has gone to give da'wah to a non-Muslim and he comes out with doubts. So only those individuals who are equipped with ilm can do this. Hence, when we go out, we sit within the circles of the ulama, we study with them, we read, then we equip ourselves with the ilm. And we equipped ourselves with the armor to be able to do this. On the word of read, there's an Arab scholar who he mentions, Mata ummatu iqra taqra. When will the nation of iqra actually start reading? It's a sad state of affairs within our communities that reading is non-existent. We don't keep books within our homes. There's no culture of reading within our homes. Our children don't read. We forcefully make them read the school books because they are sent home with them. There's no culture of reading. Reading books is far gone. Allah protect us and forgive us all. We don't read the Quran. But we need to create this culture of reading. Our parents create the culture of reading within the home. Make a time before bed. Children, parents alike, you sit with a book, you read. The very first verse to be revealed to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was Iqra, read it. We should be at the forefront. But it's unfortunate that this culture of reading has been lost within our communities and societies. We have libraries within the masjid. You can probably count on your hand how many individuals have entered that library. Books collect dust. But we should have this culture of reading within the home. Equip ourselves. Engage our intellect. So my young friends as well, read. At home, have a time to read as well. Read your Quran. Read the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Read biographies of the sahaba ikram radiyallahu anhum majma'in. There's so much you can read. Visit the library. You have a beautiful library within the masjid. Visit the library. See what books are there for you. So as I was mentioning, another thing we can do to ensure that our summer holidays are fruitful is that we can go out and spend time in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. For the parents out there, I understand that the summer holidays are a difficult time. All year we used to that our children having a routine, they go to school, come back from school, they go to madrasa. Suddenly we have 6 weeks, now we're all the children at home and we're suddenly scratching our heads that what do I do with them? They have the free time, but our responsibilities still remain. We still have to go to work. Our mothers still have to do the household duties. How do we then utilize and ensure that we are spending quality time with our children and keeping them busy in a manner which is fruitful? Rather than handing over the phone, handing over the tablets, handing over the laptops, and keeping them engaged with these for 5, 6, 7 hours so then we can get our work and our jobs and our tasks done. But one thing I encourage is, as many of us know, that the obesity rates within our community are rising. Why? Because of the sedentary lifestyle of our children. They sit at home, we eat, drink, and then they sit on their games, their consoles, on their laptops, etc. There's no physical activity involved. But for this, planning and organization is necessary. Plan your weekends, plan your weeks, do things with your children, engage with them, create a connection with them. Utilize this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us with our children. We have 6 weeks with them. An opportunity to engage, an opportunity to have a, build a connection with them. How can 6 weeks go by and we've not spent much time with our children at all? Then September will come and you will only see them for the minimal hours that you see them during the day. Either after school or after madrasa for an hour or two before they go to bed. These are our children that have been given as an amanah to us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So as I was mentioning, and I'm going to wrap up shortly inshallah, that these summer holidays, we can only utilize them in the best way possible if we understand the value of time. If we understand the blessing of time and understand this time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us is a great virtue, then we will be conscious enough to make sure we don't waste this time. And I'd like to end. Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghuda has this beautiful book, Qimatu Zaman Inda Al-Ulama. He ends the kitab and he ends the book with a passage and the statement of the great scholar Ibn Qudama Al-Maqdisi Al-Hanbali. And I'd like to end by reading this passage and translating it. Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, he says, اغتنم رحمك الله حياتك النفيسة. Just like the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam states, اغتنم خمسا قبل خمس. It's loosely translated as take benefit, take advantage. But the word اغتنم comes from the word غنيمة. غنيمة means war booty. I take this as something amazing. اغتنم خمس, five things before five. One of them is شباب قبل حربك وفراغك قبل شغلك. Take advantage of your youth before salinity. Take advantage of your free time before you become occupied and busy. وحياتك قبل موتك. Take advantage of your life before your death. So here Ibn Qudama says, اغتنم. Take advantage of what? Of حياتك النفيسة. Of your valuable life. واحتفظ بأوقاتك العزيزة. and preserve and be conscious and protect this mighty and honorable time of yours. وَعَلَمْ أَنَّ مُدَّةَ حَيَاتِكَ مَحْدُودَةً. And remember that your lifespan is limited. وَأَنْفَاسَكَ مَعْدُودَةً. And your breaths are counted. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has written that after you take this number of breaths, your death will come. Not one more, not one less. So, وَأَنْفَاسَكَ مَعْدُودَةً. That your breaths are counted. فَكُلُّ نَفَسٍ يَنْقُصُ بِهِ جُزْءٌ مِّنْكَ. And with every breath, a portion of your life diminishes. وَالْعُمُرُ كُلُّهُ قَصِيرٌ. And your life is very short. وَالْبَاقِ مِنْهُ هُوَ الْيَسِيرُ. And what remains of your life is even shorter. The lifespan is, the life within this world is short as it is. But we've already lived 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50 years of it. So what's remaining is even shorter. وَكُلُّ جُزْءٍ مِّنْ عُمُرِكَ جَوْهَرَةٌ نَفِيسَةٌ لَا عَدَلَ لَهَا وَلَا خَلَفَ مِنْهَا. And every portion of your life is a pearl, a valuable pearl which has no substitute. Why? فَإِنَّ بِهَذِهِ الْحَيَاةِ الْيَسِيرَةِ خُلُودَ الْأَبَدِ فِي النَّعِيمِ أَوِ الْعَذَابِ الْعَلِيمِ. Because in exchange of this very short life, in exchange of this very short life, is either eternal bliss in Jannah or eternal punishment in Jahannam. So every single moment of your life is extremely precious. Then he says, وَاجْتَهِدْ أَلَّا يَخْلُوَ نَفَسٌ مِّنْ أَنْفَاسِكَ إِلَّا فِي عَمَلِ طَاعَةٍ. That try to ensure that not even one single breath from your life is not free from the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you read through this book of Shaykh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda, you'll find some amazing anecdotes of how the Sahaba, the Ulama spent, they were so cautious of their time. To the extent that a certain scholar, he was so engaged in ilm, that one of the family members of his brought food, he didn't even realize. She started feeding him, he didn't even realize. He spent the whole night in ilm, Fajr time has come, and he said to her that, listen, bring that food. And she said, I've already brought it to you and I've already fed you. He goes, wallahi, I didn't even realize. I was so engrossed in studying that I didn't even realize that you had brought the food and you had fed it to me. There's so many stories of scholars that even on the deathbed, they are discussing masail. Imam Abu Yusuf, rahimahullah ta'ala, so many of his scholars. But Ibn Qudama al-Maqdisi, rahimahullah, continues and he says, فَإِنَّكَ لَوْ كَانَتْ مَعَكَ جَوْهَرَةٌ مِّنْ جَوَاهِرِ الدُّنْيَا. That if you had one of the pearls of the world, فَضَاعَتْ مِنْكَ, and you lost it, لَحَزِنْتَ عَلَيْهَا حُزْنًا شَدِيدًا. That you would be extremely sad and upset that I had this pearl. You'd be so sad that I had this football card. I had this game and I've lost it. But he goes on to say, بَلَّوْ ضَاعَ مِنْكَ دِينَارُ النَّسَاءَكَ. But even if you lost a pound, you'd be sad that I've lost some of my money. فَكَيْفَ تُفَرِّطُ فِي سَاعَاتِكَ وَأَوْقَاتِكَ. Then how are you negligent regarding your time? That if the loss of even a pound, 10 pounds, the loss of materialistic things becomes a means of grief for us, then how can we be so negligent of the time that we have when it's much more precious than these pearls and money of the dunya? So he says, وَكَيْفَ لَا تَحْزَنُ عَلَىٰ أُمُرِكَ الذَّاهِبِ بِغَيْرِ عِوَضٍ. How are you not in grief and in state of sadness over the previous life of yours which has passed without any substitute and without any recompense? That has just been wasted. So my friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted us this beautiful blessing of time. He's given us this life to ensure that we make the most of it. And the only way we will make the most of these precious breaths that we have is if we understand and the value of time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow me, you and the whole ummah to utilize this blessing of time in a manner which pleases Him. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect our iman, the iman of our children, and the iman of our progeny to come till the day of judgment. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
JazakAllah khairan to Mawlana for those blessed words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all ability to act upon what has been mentioned. And may grant us the ability to spend our holidays, the free time that we have, in the correct manner. Alhamdulillah, from our masjid, many jamaats have already gone out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 40 days, 20 days, 10 days. If any of the brothers would like to join, even if just for one day, you know, please let us know. We can join you up with the jamaat whenever it's convenient for you. Inshallah, that time that you spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be a means of great benefit. Just to carry on now, inshallah, with our Q&A session. As brothers will know that we send out the link with the poster every month. Brothers, they post, or even maybe sisters as well, they post their questions, and then we choose certain questions. We may not have time to go through all of them. Alhamdulillah, Mawlana, he's already touched upon a few of them. We had, with regards to Tabligh, is to go out in Jamaat Farad. Why don't Tabligh go to non-Muslim? Alhamdulillah, he's already touched upon this. Just a few other questions, inshallah. The main Mufti for this is Mufti Asmaul Akram Sahib, Nal Barakatuhum, and I request Mufti Sahib as well. The first few I've been instructed to answer. If I have any mistakes, please correct me. Number one, that can I pray Jumu'ah in a masjid where they do khutbah in English? First and foremost, our ulama have mentioned that for a person to do khutbah in any other language apart from Arabic is makruh tahrimi. What does makruh tahrimi mean? Minor. Majorly disliked. Severely disliked by the Sharia. So, in essence, a person's Jumu'ah will be valid, but to do the khutbah in any other language apart from Arabic is makruh tahrimi. Now, you'll have the question in your head that what's the point of the khutbah if people don't understand? It makes sense to do in English, No? Yes or no? If no one understands, what's the point of doing the khutbah in Arabic? You tell me, go on. Also, ulama ikram yahan maujood hain, unse mera khitab nahi hai, lekin just a general. If someone was to ask you that, you know, what's the point? Your khatib, he does the khutbah every week in Arabic, there's 1,000 people there, no one understands, what's the point? Excellent, that's one point. Now look, if the khutbah was to be done in any other language, then we would have learned this from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Islam spread in the time of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. They went to non-Arabic countries. But despite this, we don't find a single narration in which a Sahabi, they instructed someone that do the khutbah in any other language apart from Arabic. So they understood the Sharia much better than us. So this is an usul, a principle which we should, you know, embed in our hearts and minds. If something was to be part of the Sharia, it would have been taught to us by Rasulullah ﷺ, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu. If they did not do something, then we, after 1400 years, come along and think that, you know, maybe we understand better. You know, this is completely false. Secondly, the ulama, they mentioned that the khutbah is not just to give a lesson. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, and fas'aw ila dhikrillah, that the point of the khutbah is dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when it comes to the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is done in which language? In Arabic. Even in regards to the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, in huwa illa dhikru lil alameen. The Quran is a form of dhikr. Now when it comes to reciting the Quran, do you recite the Quran in English? Urdu? Punjabi? It's Arabic. If you were to carry on this rationale, this thinking, this logic, that you know, no one understands Arabic, let's do the khutbah in English. Tomorrow someone's going to come and say, no one understands Arabic, let's do Surah Fatiha in English. Yeah, when you start in namaz, this is the whole namaz in English. And the whole Sharia will come to an end. So, learning or having the khutbah in Arabic, this is also a means of encouragement as well. That we should try to learn Arabic. Yeah, we want to take the easy way out. Rather than changing ourselves, we want to change the Sharia. Now we should be changing ourselves, take our time to learn the beautiful language of Arabic. Number two, can I use AI to get a fatwa? So I've got a fatwa from, or an article from Mufti Faraz Adam, Hafizullah Ta'ala, in which he mentions why AI can never be a Mufti. I was going to read it out, but I'll just keep it short. Does anyone know how AI works? Excellent. What does algorithm mean? That's a big word. Yeah, it works on patterns. Yeah, that's one of the points he mentions, that AI just works on patterns. So it's been trained on a certain language model or certain text, and it creates patterns. This is not how fiqh works. Fiqh, it needs so many different things. He lists a few different things based on wahi, ijtihad, light of prophethood, basira. It's not just, you know, matter of patterns, and a person puts in these few patterns and then logical answer is always going to come. There are many subtleties to this. That's number one. Number two, is AI mukallaf? Do you know what mukallaf means? Is AI accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Will Allah ask ChatGPT on the day of Qiyamah that, why did you give this answer? No. But when you ask a mufti, when you go to a person, a scholar, then they are mukallaf. If they are to give the wrong answer, if they are not to research properly, they will be questioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why the ulama, they're very hesitant to give a fatwa. You know, they said, maybe ask this alim, or let me get a second opinion. Why? Because they understand how detrimental it is. Yeah, for a person to give the wrong answer and someone wants to follow your fatwa and they act upon the sharia in the wrong manner. Because when someone is asking an alim a question, what is he saying? He's asking him, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do? So when you're asking that, what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala want me to do, and you tell them the wrong answer, then you'll be held accountable by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. AI is not mukallaf, so it can give you whatever answer. It, you know, it's not up to AI to give you the correct answer. Third point I just want to mention, that, you know, AI is based on confirmation bias. What that means is that the way you put your question, that's the answer it gives you. It won't give you an answer which will put you off. Yeah, if you take a picture of yourself and ask AI, that, do I look handsome? Yeah? You can look the most ugly or whatever, but it'll never say to you, that, you know, you don't look good. Yeah, it always say, oh yeah, you've got nice cheekbones and this and this and that. Because it's built on this. It's built on confirmation bias. It's programmed in such a way that the user, it feels happy. So sometimes what the AI does, it'll give you the answer based on your question and what you want from it. And sometimes in order to do this, it'll make up stuff as well. You know, I've tried this. I asked a question with regards to halal and haram, and it gave a complete, it made halal haram. And then it gives reasoning behind this as well. It gives logic behind this. And it was, you know, completely wrong. But if a layman was to see this and not understand, you know, he'll be understanding something which is halal to be something which is haram, or the opposite as well. So AI, you know, it can't give you a fatwa. You know, a person should be very careful when it comes to getting fatwa. A person should ask, you know, righteous, God-fearing ulama like Mufti Sahib, and you know, follow such opinions. Inshallah, they've done the research, they've made their effort, and inshallah, they will guide you in the correct manner. Number three, is cloning allowed in Islam? This is one of the contemporary topics. One of the reasons I chose this is that, just for us to understand that when it comes to contemporary issues, certain things which you may not find in the time of Rasulullah or the Sahaba, you know, a person should go out of his way to find out what is the ruling. Yeah, so sometimes what can happen is a person does something, especially when it comes to money making, forex trading or stocks and all these kind of things. A person, he's into it, yeah, he's making money. Then afterwards, he thinks to himself, oh, let me ask. Then he finds out, oh, this is haram. Now he's stuck. Now shaitan puts all of these whispers in his mind that, no, it can't be. I'm going to lose all this business money. You know, what about this? What about this? What about this? You know, some, maybe the scholars, they don't understand how it works. And they find all these excuses from shaitan in order to try to make something that they're already involved in halal. So when it comes to contemporary issues, before a person is involved in certain things, the person should find out the ruling and thereafter take a step forward. So when it comes to cloning the... check that thing in behind the projector. Anyway, when it comes to cloning, what the ulama they mentioned is that when it comes to human cloning, this is impermissible. So human cloning, this is impermissible, but cloning can be taken benefit from in terms of animals, in terms of agriculture as well. Inshallah, the next few questions, Mufti Asma Sahib, Dar Barakatum, will answer.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم اما بعد Islam, we're a bit behind time. So I just wanted to have a laugh with you guys. Well, Maulana mentioned, I'm just going to pick a few points, okay? Allah Pak Rabad Mufti Luqman Sahib. Sorry, I'm sitting on my seat. They say that if you ever get a kursi in life, don't let go of it. Got a sore back, but Dr. Sahib's here. Hey, Dr. Nabil Sahib. Dr. Nabil Sahib's he's a cardiologist, heart surgeon, yeah? Young man, let me ask you a question, yeah? See if your heart was, you felt something wrong with it. What's your name? Huh? Nu'aym? Ah, it's a good name, man. See you start feeling your heart pumping too fast, and you went onto ChatGPT, and it said, you know what, to make it stop pumping fast, do this and do this. Would you take it? Ask somebody, stand up, they need to hear you, man. Would you do? You would ask somebody who's, say it again. Is that a Bolton accent? Huh? This is Bolton accent, genuine. Good answer, Beja. So let me ask you a question, young people. Yeah. If you're worried, you would never trust software when you something wrong with your body, yes? Why would you trust something that's playing with your iman? Okay, why would you trust something that's going to put the thoughts and your beliefs in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So, Mawlana, mashallah, I really like that answer, Allah Pak Rabad Mufti Faraz Sahib. I felt it was important to add that on. The reason I put Mawlana Sajjad on the pedestal is because he deserves to get given a bit more time. I thought we had less time. So I've got a couple of questions here, but I'm going to put what Mawlana mentioned into action. Okay? So I'm going to give you guys the choice, okay, of which one to answer. But I'm not promising that I'm going to listen to you. Because Mufti Luqman Sahib has now made me the Amir. I don't want to be the Amir. Okay? But you guys need to learn why we go on Jamaat, why it's important. Okay? Right, so young man, you ready? What's your name? Adam, yeah? Adam. So we got choice. Can I attend church service of a non-Muslim friend who has died? Yeah, we need a translator. Myself. Can you say anything? What does it say? Bolton accent.
Just translate that first question. Can I attend church? Just so you understand.
Can you go to a church when your non-Muslim friend has died? For example, to their funeral in a church.
That's one question. I'm giving you a choice. Second one, Pachi.
As a male, can I shake hands with a non-Muslim female?
So what you want? You want
that, sorry, that's the answer.
Church or female, what do you want?
Neither. I'll be careful with that answer. Mufti Ahmed Dawood Sahib. Church or female? Ask him. What's his name? Come, we need to answer one of them. What do you want? Do you want church or female? Church. Mufti Sahib, I know what you would say. Take it. Look. See, sometimes you want something in life, but the barakah of the mashwara is we have to go according to what Mufti Luqman Sahib has said. So the one he told me to answer first, I'm going to do first. Because really, I know there's some of you that one, the women one answered, can I shake hands, okay? You're not being honest about it. You know, she wouldn't have wrote it. But sometimes, you know, in life, you step back, you think, yeah, Allah, this is what I wanted. But the Amir Sahib has made this decision, and watch. Now watch what happens in the next 10 minutes, okay? Maybe you'll learn something that you never thought you'd learn before, okay? So the question we're going to handle is, can I attend the church service of a non-Muslim friend, colleague who has died, okay? Non-Muslim friend, he's passed away. He might have been a Christian, he might have been Jewish, he might have been some other faith, okay? Okay, and they're doing a religious service. Hakim's gone. Right, young man, come up. What do you think the answer to the question is?
Sorry, don't mind if you're wrong.
I don't know.
You don't know.
That's the best answer. Sit down. Okay. Boharu. You know, you meet these people sometimes and they don't really know, but they just don't want to say, don't know, because they want you to think, you know what, they know everything. Okay, and Dean, the best answer is, I don't know. Okay? Now, I had no idea that you were going to say that. I was worried you'd say yes or no. But you actually gave the best answer. Allah Pak reward you. It's a very good quality, yeah? Very, very good quality. Because see, when you say, I don't know, the other person will tell you the answer. Okay? See, if you give a half answer, the other person might think, maybe he knows a little, maybe he doesn't know the rest. So the answer about attending a church service where there's something religious going on, the fatwa is no, because you're taking part in somebody's religious ceremony. Okay, now, if we answered the questions the way some brothers here want answered, we would walk away home, and you've learned one thing. But I'm going to turn it around. Maulana Sajjad Sahib, what do you think would happen if my friend, who I was friend 20 years, we grew up together, we went to Sunning Hill together, we went to Bolton Uni together, then he passed away in a car crash, and I really, really wanted to go to his funeral, and I didn't go. Okay? Does that not make us a bit, what's the word, insensitive? Is that what they say? Huh? Guilty. It's a heavy word.
What do you think? Just see. I've got two answers. One of them might have a better one.
I've not got any answers.
Why are you being so insensitive? Yeah, these.
As in, how would you feel?
How would you feel? How would they feel?
So
that's why they've asked the question.
For example, I think what Muftisab is trying to say is, if you've had a friend for that long, it might be very highly possible now that you know their family members as well. You might know some of their relatives. You might know other friends within the same group. So it might just be you and him. There might be other people. You might be a work colleague. Now you might be thinking, or you might be from school or university, that I'm not going to go to this funeral in church. How am I going to walk into work? Or how am I going to walk into class on Monday? Everyone's going to start asking me questions. Why did you not come for? Or why did you not come? Yeah, look what happened. He died in such a tragic accident. Yeah, you should have, you know, you could have at least come and paid your respects, etc. So now, throughout your mind, you now start getting anxious that, okay, how am I going to start answering these questions on Monday morning? You might not want to go to school or college or work now. You start building this anxiety up within yourself. And you might be already thinking about this before the event, and you think, do you know what, to save myself from all this trouble, I'll just go there 5 minutes, quickly show my face, come back out.
Are we ready to answer the question? Are we ready to? Let me ask you the same question, yeah? In a different way. What can you do better than attend the funeral? As a Muslim, what can you do better than even attending the funeral? What's your name? Bilal, what do you think? Oh, that's a tricky one. You're non-Muslim. What dua are you going to make? Mufti Ahmad Dawood's on. He could see the steam coming from his ears. What type of dua are you going to make? It's fine. Good answer. Forget. Try another one. Oh, right. Okay. You know what? Let's forget about the person who's passed away. Think about their family. What can you do for them? You're going to go to their house. You're not going to say you're sorry, but you're going to comfort them. Wastuche. Okay, that was it. Okay? Very good answer. Okay. So you know non-Muslims, how when their funerals come, they're not like janazas, they happen the next day. They usually give you a date, like a holiday, 2 months down the line, yeah, or 1 week, 2-3 weeks. So all the fatwa is you can't go to the church, but you can at least go to their home. Okay? Yes? And I'll tell you what, if you go to their home, you know these adab of ta'ziyat, when we go to visit people that passed away as Muslims, yeah? You know, sometimes you make food and we take it to their house. We ask them, is there anything that we can do for you? You're upset, you're sad. Those are all the things that are probably going to mean more to that person that's lost somebody that they beloved than actually coming on the day of their funeral. And if they don't worry, okay? Why am I giving that answer? I'll tell you why that answer is important. See, when it comes to marriages, deaths, etc.,
culture defines what is right thing to do, what is wrong thing to do. But Islam has its own beauty. So every time you're asking these questions, whether it was the brother that wants to shake hands with a female, yes? Ask yourself one thing to begin with. What does Allah want from me? Every stage in life, summer holidays, yes? What does Allah want? In this situation, whatever it is, what does Allah want from me? And if you don't know the answer, you go and ask Mufti Luqman Saab, yeah? I'll share a little anecdote, then we'll move on to the next one. You know, have you ever had, I've asked these guys, what's your name, bruv? Hafiz Saab? Rayhan, mashallah. Stay local? Okay. You know when there's a death or a wedding in the street, can you notice? Can you notice when there's a wedding? There's a Pakistani wedding, you easily notice, take it, with the big lights and Paji Lamborghini standing outside, take it. You know what I mean? It's all right, that's what we'll get up to at our lot. Okay. Generally speaking, if you are in the same street and there's a celebration, you will notice. Okay? And if you don't notice, it's a problem. So I'll tell you what I did once. I was reading the biography of Qari Siddiq Ahmad Bandwi, amazing scholar. You can write this, you should come with pens. Hayati Siddiqui, it's in English. Okay? So I learned from this pious person that every time in his area somebody would get married, it didn't make a difference whether they were Muslim, didn't make a difference whether they were Hindu, yeah? All he would do is say, you know what, this is a time of happiness. He's a little present. Whether he knew them or he didn't. Whether he knew them or he didn't. Okay? So I sat in the house, I remember reading this at 2 in the morning, 3 in the morning. I thought, you know what, that's a good idea. Okay, that sounds like Islam. So I sent my daughters, next time there was a wedding, I didn't know who the neighbors were yet. I said, you know what, there's a wedding in that house because there's lots of people coming and going, all dressed up, okay? Just take a few cakes. You understand, yeah? Yes. So I did it. They didn't know who I was and I didn't know who they were. Fast forward six months, yeah. I got called to a meeting in Taiba Masjid, Blackman Road. Blackie Road, yeah. You know, Taiba, yeah. So this was a long time ago now. These people have changed. So I walked into the room, and the president of the masjid, okay, Hafiz Rishab, it wasn't him, it was Taiba Masjid, yeah. The president of the masjid, he looked at me and he goes, Masab, because that's how we say it, Blackie Road, you say Masab, yeah. See, I know you, but you don't know me. I know you, but you don't know me, yeah. And I said, I'm really sorry. I meet lots of people. We do lots of courses. I can't remember everyone. Forgive me, yeah? He goes, no, it's nothing like that. He goes, 6 months ago, my sister's daughter is getting married. We did not know who you were, but you know what? We were taken aback that you sent gifts, even though you didn't know us. What is it that you need for the masjid? Deal done. Even before I met that person, deal done. Okay? So why am I... Because the akhlaq, you know the morals, the way we are programmed in Islam, that we should be acting... We can transfer that into non-Muslim environments. We can transfer those akhlaq into non-Muslim environments. That's the lesson that I want to make, okay? So we don't need to go and take part in religious gatherings because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want us to do that. But we can do everything else. We can do everything else. Right, next question, and then I've taken too long. What's the close time? Huh? 10 minutes. Chalo. As a male... Can I shake hands with a non-Muslim female when they put their hands out? What do I do? Okay, it's me a good one. Acha, Bilal, aja. When you come. Actually, no, you're too young. Pick somebody older. Hafiz Saab, what's your name? Huh? What's your name? Khalid, mashallah. Right. You've gone to work. Finish? 5 minutes. Ah, they see that? They don't want me to answer the question. Do you? Okay, Khalid, what are you going to do? You've gone in, okay, whatever it is, work, school, whatever, and she's just gone bang. How are you doing, Khalid? Huh? You're going to have to do something. You can't just look at her. Huh? Huh? You're a puncher? I thought we can't do that. Remember Islam? Like, right hand man, what's your name, Hafsa? Now, I'm kidding, huh? Hussein, yeah, mashallah. What are you going to do? No, I'm genuinely interested in what you do. Do you want one of the sajats I might do? Achoo! I'm really, really sorry, yeah? Yeah? Dr. Amisab Abdul Hansre, you know, sometimes when we were going to go, me and Dr. Sahab, we work in healthcare, yeah? So, you know, the easiest way to get out of a handshake is to keep the gloves on. Okay? Because you know they're not going to touch the gloves. But listen, what are you going to do? Huh? Run away? That's going to get you the job, isn't it? Go to the toilet. Is that not a bit obvious? Can I go to the toilet? She's going to think you're a weirdo. Like, Mufti Ahmed Sahab, listen, I know, let's get to the deal. Have a little joke here. Your answer should be you shouldn't be in that environment in the first place. That would have been a good answer. That's the real test, isn't it? Okay, number one, Allah Pak save us from these environments. Sometimes you can just be honest and say, I'm really, really sorry, but my mom said I'm not to shake anyone's health hand apart from mine. Okay? And they think, oh, that's so cute. Okay? Take it. But listen, it's the reality is that this is the society that we live in. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam never touched the hand of a woman that wasn't married to or a relative in that sense, okay? Mahram. So I'm just trying to share an anecdote, but there's one small exception, okay? See if it's a buddhi. Okay? You know what a buddhi is? No, in Punjabi, a buddhi is general. Punjabi, a buddhi means any woman. I mean a buddhi, like a khala or a masi, you know, someone old, yeah? A little bit of flexibility, yeah. I'll finish on this. Dr. Nabil Saab here, I remembered. So we had a patient once, I remember she mentioned to them. So we, I think the treatment was costing a lot of money, okay? So I just let her off because she was an old lady. She came in with a stick. You know, she came in with a stick. She spent a lot of money on her teeth. So I thought, you know what? I think it was up to, it was in Ramadan. I thought Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's generosity increased in Ramadan, yeah? For non-Muslims. I said, you know what, let's just let her off. Don't charge her. You know, when she looked at me and I said, there's no charges for today, she was walking outside with her husband. Do you know what she done? She hugged me, jumped on me. I'm like, yeah, what do I do now? So I did what any good man did, didn't I? I froze, didn't it? Okay. But she was an old woman, isn't it? Kim Mali Sahib, فَإِنْ كَانَتْ أَجُوزًا فَلَا بَأْسَ بِالْمُصَافَحَةِ إِنْ كَانَ غَالِبُ رَأْيِهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يَشْتَهِي. ٹھیک ہے مولوی صاحب, چلے گا تھوڑا بہت. صحیح مولوی صاحب, علاء الدین السمرقندی. اوکے, سو ود اولڈ لیڈیز از دیئر ا بٹ اف گیو ان دی حنفی مذہب, یہ بٹ جنرلی سپیکنگ وی شڈ اوائڈ دیز تھنگز. ٹھیک ہے, لک واٹ اٹ از, دیئر از ا لٹ اف ادر کوسچنز. از اٹ فرض ٹو گو ان جماعت؟ Why don't tablighis go to non-Muslims? Is fazail amal? See, what is the biggest benefit of tablig? The brother that asked this question, why don't tablighis go to non-Muslims? I love this question. I'll tell you why I love it, and we'll finish on this. The purpose of tablig is for you to learn your deen so that when you come back, you can be the Muslim that you should be. Okay? Your dawah, when you're not in tablig, is who you are as an individual. You learn those skills in tablig. Okay? So you know these things that we talked about, ikram and trying to take part in somebody else's grief, how it's the correct way to show sadness and sorrow. These are all part of deen. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless all you guys. We'll finish on that because they said 5 minutes. Maulana Sajjad Sahib is going to do a little quick dua and then inshallah we will have some food.
صلى على محمد وعلى ال محمد اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى ال محمد ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنه وفي الاخره حسنه وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من ازواجنا وذرياتنا قرة اعين واجعلنا للمتقين اماما ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمه انك انت الوهاب رب اجعلني مقيم الصلاه ومن ذريتي ربنا وتقبل دعاء ربنا اغفر لي ولوالدي وللمؤمنين يوم يقوم الحساب اللهم اقسم لنا من خشيتك ما تحول به بيننا وبين معاصيك ومن طاعتك ما تبلغنا به جنتك ومن اليقين ما تهون به علينا مصائب الدنيا اللهم متعنا بأسماعنا وبصرنا وقوتنا ما أحييتنا واجعله الوارث منا واجعل ثأرنا على من ظلمنا وانصرنا على من عادانا ولا تجعل مصيبتنا في ديننا ولا تجعل الدنيا أكبر همنا ولا مبلغ علمنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا. صلى الله على النبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين الحمد لله رب العالمين.
جزاكم الله خيرا to everyone for attending. Was a request, please wash your hands and make your way upstairs for food. Make your way downstairs. So wash your hands and make your way downstairs. Jazakum.